message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 15, it says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." You know, that's three verses of good instruction right there. Talks about the Lord's will, wisdom. It mentions that the days are evil. I was going to touch on that part of it, but we're going to leave that alone. Just know that there's some things going on in our nation that are concerning. And I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but you need to also know that if you're a follower of Jesus, you believe in the sanctity of life, you believe in traditional marriage, you believe in two genders, well, then you are in not the minority, but you are in the crosshairs. And you, in the words of some, are a threat to democracy. I want to go to the next verse. I want to throw those in there, but the next verse is key. Verse 18, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." If we're going to be careful how we live, if we're going to be wise, if we're going to make the most of opportunities, if we're going to know the Lord's will, it's going to be helpful to be filled with His Spirit. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, which is reckless living, bad behavior. One translation says ruin. It leads to ruin. And I know many of people who have let their lives go to ruin because of alcohol and things like that. Don't do that, but instead be filled with the Spirit. Title of the message is Under the Influence. Let's bow. Father God, we thank you for your word. I thank you for your Spirit. And I pray that you would just stir in our hearts and that you would fill us with your Spirit. God, I pray that you anoint me and help me to teach, preach. And may you be glorified, and may we be benefited as a result of coming together today. In Jesus' name, amen. Do not get drunk on wine. Now, if you're sitting there thinking, yeah, well, it doesn't say anything about vodka. That's not what he's saying. Drunkenness is definitely a sin in the Word of God. You can find that easily. But the reason he used this phrase is because he's at the church of Ephesus. And in the city of Ephesus, the pagans, they believed that in order to have communion with their God, in order to know His will, you had to be drunk. And so their church services looked a little different than maybe ours did. But you had to commune with Him by getting drunk. And so Paul is, you know, highlighting that in the church of Ephesus. He's saying, don't be drunk with wine like the pagans and everybody out there. You need to be not influenced by alcohol. You need to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. When I say filled with the Holy Spirit, I don't want you to answer out loud, but what's the first thing that comes through your mind? You know the word game, I say this, and what's the first thing you think of? When I say filled with the Holy Spirit, what's the first thing that you think of? Now, you don't need to say it, but you have an answer in mind. And I can tell you this, for many, the first thing that comes to their mind is the idea of speaking in other tongues. Filled with the Spirit, speaking in tongues, we connect these two dots pretty easily. And I want you to know that being filled with the Spirit connects to a lot of other dots than just speaking in other tongues. So I want to, just last week we touched on this, if you missed it, just a quick little blast on that. When it comes to tongue speaking, it is not of the devil, and you don't have to have it to go to heaven. Those are two extremes. There are believers on both sides of the issues. There are those that embrace tongues, there are those that don't embrace tongues, and they all love Jesus. It's not about heaven, okay? It's not required to be a part of this church. We embrace it. We encourage it. We believe that it can be a blessing and a help to you, but it's not going to be forced on you, and you're not going to be pressured. We will pray for you, and we will do what we can to help you, but we're not going to pressure you. The Holy Spirit should not be a struggle, but There may be some things for you personally that you have to unlearn. There can be some things up here that make it a little bit of a struggle for you. And so that's why we're not going to get you up here when you're not hungry. Listen, the key is to be hungry. More hunger, less struggle. So if you're not hungry, we're not going to get you up here and try to cram a burger down your throat. If you'll get hungry, it'll come. And so hunger is the key. Those that hunger will be filled. So we encourage you to seek God. We don't encourage you to seek tongues. We encourage you to follow after Him. Allow Him to do more in your life. Continue to grow in the things of God for everybody. Right? A little bit more review from a couple of weeks ago. There are those that believe that salvation is it. When you get salvation, you have everything. There's nothing after that. There is Bible for that position. There are also those that believe that after salvation, there is another experience to have. There is Bible for that position as well. And we're not going to break that down again, but know this, regardless of which one you lean towards, I believe we can all be in agreement and say that, you know, regardless of which way it is, none of us have arrived. None of us need to stop seeking God because, hey, I got it all. Filled with the Spirit. This is message 6 of our Helper series, the final message. We'll come back to it another day. There's plenty more to talk about, but we're going to stop after this one. The Helper series, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Helper is in you. That's why we're going to continue to seek God, because if the Helper's in you, that I guess we still need help. Right? So filled with the Spirit. Here's the dot you should connect with filled with the Spirit. There's many dots out there, but instead of going straight to tongues, power is the dot you should connect filled with the Spirit to. Power. The Bible says specifically that when you're filled with the Spirit, you shall receive power. That word filled, it means exactly what you would think it means. It means to influence, to permeate, to infuse. Filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit is found many times in Scripture. If we were in a weekly Bible study, we would go through every one of those and just break them down. We're not able to do that this morning, but whenever you do that, whenever you go, you find that phrase, filled with the Spirit, and then you see what's going on, it's always attached to a task being accomplished. It's always attached to something to do with power, okay? Even in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was connected to power. In Judges, we find the story of Samson. It says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. So the Holy Spirit didn't just show up on the day of Pentecost. He's been around since the beginning. Amen. In fact, if you go back to Genesis, he's in the very first couple of verses. So in the Old Testament, he didn't reside in them, but he would come upon them. And how many of you know that when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, he was somebody to be reckoned with? It was the Spirit of the Lord that had Ezekiel prophesy life to a valley of dry bones. It says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. It was the Spirit of the Lord that came upon the prophets to declare the word of the Lord. And I chose one of them, Micah. In chapter 3, verse 8, it says this, I am filled with power with the Spirit of the Lord. Again, the Spirit of the Lord connects to power. I am filled with power with the Spirit of the Lord to boldly declare Israel's sin and rebellion. How many of you know it's easy to give a happy word? The Lord would have me tell you that you are doing so good. Go get some cookies. Versus the Lord would have me tell you that you are against Him and in a place of rebellion. You're going to need the Spirit of the Lord for that second one. And Micah was boldly declaring Israel's sin and rebellion. Let me give you just one example. I told you filled with the Spirit is all throughout the book of Acts and in Luke as well. But I want to go to Acts chapter 3. We're going to look a little bit, just very briefly, at the life of Stephen. In Acts chapter 3, the apostles are busy. They're trying to preach. They're trying to study. Trying to have church, but they're having to wait on tables and do other things that are important to do. And so they said, you know what, we need to give more time to God and His Word, so let's get some other guys to do the table serving. And in Acts chapter 6, verse 3, it says, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. Verse 5, they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And they chose six others with him, but it highlights Stephen. Now, Stephen, so full of the Spirit and wisdom, full of faith in the Holy Spirit. And then verse 8, now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. Verse 9, opposition arose and they began to argue with Stephen. Now, Stephen is full of God's Spirit. He's full of wisdom. He is full of grace. He is full of power, and he is doing great wonders and signs, and not everybody is happy. You know, you would think great wonders and signs, everybody would be happy. But opposition arises, and they're arguing or debating with Stephen. And verse 10 says this, they could not stand up against the wisdom that the Spirit gave him to speak. See, filled with the Spirit connects to a lot of other dots, and one of them is wisdom. If you're in a healthy debate, we don't think it's good just to go argue to win a case, but you need to be able to defend your position, your reason for the hope that you have, be able to give an answer for that, and you need God's wisdom. And Stephen had that. They couldn't resist him as he spoke because of the Spirit. And so they begin to spread lies about him. Then chapter 7, the high priest comes to him. He says, are these charges true? The things that they've been saying about you, are they true? And they weren't. And Stephen didn't defend himself. He didn't even say no. I would have said no. No, they're not true. He didn't defend himself. He didn't even say no. But in verse 2 all the way through verse 50, for 49 verses, he proclaims the gospel and basically tells the history of Israel in 49 verses. You can read Genesis and Exodus to get the history of Israel, or you can read chapter 7 in the book of Acts and get a pretty good dose of it. The Reader's Digest version is right there. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph sold into slavery, the birth of Moses, Moses in the burning bush, the golden calf, 40 years in the wilderness, David, Solomon, and Solomon's temple, all of that is covered. They just ask him, are these charges true? And then he just, boom, history lesson. And then in verse 51, that's 49 verses. For the next three verses, he shifts gears and he begins to accuse them directly. He calls them stiff-necked betrayers and murderers. You don't do that without the Holy Spirit. And that part didn't go over too well. You know the story. Stephen is the first martyr. And in verse 55, it says that Stephen sees the heaven open and he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God, which there's another place in the Bible where it says Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. Now you think, well, is he sitting or is he standing? The Bible's contradicting. No, it's not contradicting. He is sitting at the right hand of God. But when they started to stone Stephen, Jesus stood up. When you stand for Jesus, he stands for you. Amen. Jesus saw the heavens open, saw Jesus standing. The next verse, they drag him out of the city to stone him. They're stoning Stephen to death. Stephen says this, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and he cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he said this, he fell asleep. He died. Now, in chapter 6 and 7, I just went through that quickly. Stephen is filled with the Spirit. Great things are happening. Some hard things are happening. One thing that's not mentioned in all of what I just shared is speaking in tongues. Though it's very possible that Stephen spoke in tongues, but that's not mentioned. What is mentioned, he's filled with the Spirit. Here's what's mentioned. He performed great signs and wonders. He defended truth with great wisdom. He boldly proclaimed the gospel. He died. You know what? If you're going to die for the faith, you got to be filled with the Spirit. You know what else he did as he's dying? He's been falsely accused. He's doing nothing but good. But as he's dying, he said, Lord, forgive them. You know, if you're filled with the Spirit, it helps you to forgive great offenses. I'm just telling you, we need to be filled with the Spirit, as Paul said in Ephesians 5:18. Speaking in tongues, yes, but there's so much more that we need to embrace. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, this is the day of Pentecost. It says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And then we got Ephesians 5:18. be filled with the Spirit. So in Acts 2:4, they were filled with the Spirit. In Ephesians 5:18, it tells us to be filled with the Spirit. In Acts 2:4, we see something to experience. But in Ephesians 5:18, we see something to embrace. See, there's an event in Acts 2:4, but there's a process, an ongoing process in Ephesians 5. In Acts 2:4, an experience is described, but in Acts 5:18, instruction is given. There's two things going on here. There's filled with the Spirit as an event, but then there's filled with the Spirit as an ongoing process. Let me illustrate it this way. A lot of times people will come up to me and they want me to do their wedding. And I will ask them this question, especially if they're not part of the church and they could afford to be a little closer to Jesus. I will ask them, well, you're asking me to do your wedding, so are you wanting a Christian wedding? And I've never heard a no. I've never had anybody go, nope. That's the only kind I got. Would you like a Christian wedding? Yes. And then I ask them this, do you want a Christian marriage? And then that opens the door for me to have a conversation with them. Because I can give you a Christian wedding, but I can't give you a Christian marriage. You got to give yourself a Christian marriage. See, the wedding is an event. You plan for it for months, but it's over in 30 minutes. The wedding is the event, but the marriage is the ongoing process. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, they were filled with the Spirit. That was an event. But Paul is now saying there's an ongoing process. You need to embrace it. See, getting married is easy. Staying married can be a challenge. It's an ongoing process. It doesn't matter how beautiful the wedding ceremony was 10 years ago if your marriage isn't working right now today. Your wedding photos lose their value when your marriage loses its passion. If your marriage is passionless and it's not working, you're at each other's throat, and then you open the photo album to the wedding, you're not oohing and aahing, you're cutting with scissors. See, you need more than good memories. You need a constant refreshing in your marriage and your relationship with the Lord. You need more than good memories. Well, I was filled with the Spirit back at camp 13 years ago. That's a great event. How are you doing right now with the ongoing process? Filled with the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 5:18 is ongoing, it's continuous, and there's two things that bear this out. Number one, when you go to the original language, the verb tense. The verb tense that is used implies continuous action. In other words, it could read this, keep on being filled. See, you need a continual inpouring of the Holy Spirit. As we've said a few times, we leak and we need to be refilled. See, it's like most things in life. It's not one and done. You don't eat one meal. You got to keep eating. You don't go to the gym one time. You got to keep going. And I don't like that part. You don't mow the yard just once. You got to keep doing it. You don't just charge your phone one time. You got to keep charging your phone. And I could go on and on. Most things in life are not one and done. And neither is your relationship with your spouse, your children, or your God. There's an ongoing process. I'm going to give you 3 points today. And here's the first one. An event may get you going, but it takes ongoing to keep going. Did you get that? An event may get you going, but it takes ongoing to keep going. You can't just have an event. Whether you believe there's one event and you get it all, or you believe there's 3 events once you come to get saved, whatever, it doesn't matter. Once you have the event, there's an ongoing process that you have to embrace. You have to be filled with the Holy Spirit continuously. In Acts chapter 2, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 4, the same group, it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. How is that? The same group was filled again 2 chapters later because there is a continuous, ongoing process that we have to embrace. I told you 2 things bear this out. One is the verb tense. The other thing that bears this out, I believe, is the analogy. He said, don't be drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, as they came out of the upper room, they were accused of being drunk. They were speaking in languages they didn't know. They weren't drunk. Peter explained it. It's only 9 in the morning. Now, I had a friend. 9 in the morning didn't matter. See, they weren't drunk, but they were under the influence of a spirit. They were under the Spirit's influence. Let me say something about people who are under the influence. Drunk people. Now, some of you, I'm not trying to stir up memories for you, but some of you have been there, done that. You know what I'm talking about here. Drunk people don't care what others think. Drunk people do things they wouldn't normally do. People who can't sing get drunk and they sing. And because they're drunk, they think they're good. And they go get in line at American Idol. People who are drunk, they spend money. They may not have money. They may have their last $300 in their wallet, but they're going home with an empty wallet because they're drunk. They do unlawful things. Drunk people do unlawful things. Here, there's a common phrase. Police officers know this well. Drunk people do what sober people think. See, some of you, you thought, man, I might would do that. Now I'll never do that. But then you get drunk and you do it. Drunk people become bolder in their speech. They say things they shouldn't say. Yes, and you've heard this phrase too. Ignore him. That's just the beer talking. He's under the influence of a spirit of alcohol. See, if you fill up on spirits, they control you. When a person is drunk on alcohol, he is out of control. He can become irresponsible and even dangerous. So why is this comparison here? Well, let's keep going. See, God is against drunkenness when it comes to alcohol, but he is for us being under the influence of his spirit. Yes. Not suggesting that we be out of control. Here's the next point. God doesn't want you out of control. He wants you under his control. He wants you under his influence, and that's what Ephesians 5:18 is saying. In fact, one version says it this way, let the Holy Spirit fill and control you. Romans tells us to yield our members to whom we would obey. When you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you're yielding your members to God. When you're under the influence of alcohol, you're probably yielding your members in a wrong place. Now let's go a little further with this, because I told you, the fact that this is ongoing is brought out by the verb tense, but also, I believe, by this analogy. Let's go a little further with this. If you are drunk and you want to stay drunk, you got to keep drinking. I'm not embracing drunk. But eventually, a drunk person will sober up unless they keep drinking. And a believer will eventually dry up unless they keep drinking. Last week, we talked about living water and drinking from the well. Jesus said, if anybody's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Some of you have sobered up. Some of you aren't under the influence anymore. You go to church, you do some good things, but some of you need to take a drink. Being filled with the Spirit is an ongoing endeavor. It's continuous. And here's the final point. Now, don't get too excited. I do have some more to go. The final point is this. There is no one-time zap that removes your responsibility to pursue and develop your relationship with Jesus. There is no one event that, boom, that did it. Now I'm good to go. I'm going to coast to heaven. No, there is no one-time event that fixes it all. You have to continuously pursue and develop your relationship with the Lord Jesus. Amen? So here's a question, and I've heard this question many times. I've been asked this question. I've probably asked it of other people. Have you been filled with the Spirit? Have you been filled with the Spirit? Can I give you a better question? Are you filled with the Spirit? Because just because you have been don't mean you is. Right. I'm not saying you're not going to heaven. I'm not saying the Spirit of God doesn't reside in you as far as indwelling. But Paul said you got to keep on being filled with the Spirit. So are you filled with the Spirit? Well, how do you know? Because some people, tongue speaking is the gauge. Have you been filled with the Spirit? Yes, I speak with tongues. All right, good. Church, there's more to it than that. That's not a good litmus test all by itself. So let's set that one aside. What about not just the initial evidence. What about enduring evidence? What about ongoing fruitfulness? What about the fruit of the Spirit? If you speak in tongues in church and then you're mean as a dog through the week, I'm going to say you might not be Spirit-filled. I don't know why I said mean as a dog. We've got a dog at the house. Yeah. It's the sweetest little thing. I meant a full-grown, demon-possessed cat. Oh, I'm sorry. I've got neighbors that love cats. I meant devil. Mean as a devil. Yeah, there is enduring evidence. What about principal evidence? In Acts chapter 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. I speak in tongues. Yeah, but you're mean and you have no power. How do you know if you're Spirit-filled? Well, power. Power to witness. Power to share your faith. Power to live the Christian life. Power to lay down self-will and embrace His will. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, and the life I live, I now live by the faith in the Son of God. Or you live in that kind of life. See, you're saved so you can live forever, but you're endued with the Spirit's power so that you can die to yourself right now. When you're filled with the Spirit, your focus goes beyond just going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. Anybody else want to raise your hand? Do you at least hope? Yeah. You can know that you're going. A lot of people have that idea. Well, you can't really know. You just wait and see if they call your number. No, you can know. And you got time to bear that out in Scripture. But you can know. And I am. And if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, you are. But when you're filled with the Spirit, you're not just heavenly minded. You're people minded. See, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is at least two things. Exalt Jesus. How many of you know that the Spirit came to make a big deal about Jesus? The Holy Spirit is like the one who runs the spotlight. When you go to a play, a theater, and there's a spotlight, the Holy Spirit's the one behind the spotlight. You never see the person behind the spotlight, but the one in the spotlight is who you see, and that's Jesus. The Holy Spirit spotlights Jesus. He's here to exalt Jesus and to help us reach others. See, Jesus was given to you that you might know God. The Holy Spirit is given that you might make God known. The primary purpose of the Holy Spirit primarily is for the outside of the church, outside the walls of the church. When they were filled with the Spirit in the upper room and spoke with other tongues, if you'd have got there, let's just say you could transport back in the time, get in your time machine, and I want to go to the upper room on the day of Pentecost. If you get there about an hour late or maybe even 30 minutes late, the upper room's going to be empty. They didn't stay up there. What happened to them up there pushed them out here. It put them into the streets. And the fact that you're filled with the Holy Spirit ought to give you an awareness and a desire to reach others. It's not just I'm going to heaven. I want to know that somebody else is going as well. The Holy Spirit was given for us to help fill the Great Commission. We're filled with the Spirit to go into the world, the marketplace, the neighborhood, the school. God gives us His Spirit to help us fulfill the assignment, and the assignment is still the Great Commission. Reaching the nations for Jesus. And reaching the nation starts with telling your neighbor, your friend, your family member. The Holy Spirit is here to help you make a big deal about Jesus. Not your denomination, not your label. If you're Spirit-filled, you shouldn't have to announce it. You've heard that saying, if you have to tell everybody you're the leader, you're not. If you have to tell everybody you're in charge, you're probably not. If you have to tell everybody that you're Spirit-filled, maybe you're not. I want you to understand, we do encourage, we embrace the idea of praying in tongues, another language. We embrace that. But if you're not doing something to help others know Jesus, you might not be as Spirit-filled as you think. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31, they were filled with the Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. A lot of times when you go and you find that phrase, filled with the Spirit, it's connected to speaking. Not in other tongues, just speaking the word of God, prophesying the word of God, boldly declaring God. Listen, that verse a little earlier that I read to you, because the days are evil. You're going to need to be filled with His Spirit to withstand the days that could be in front of you. We need to live under the control or influence of the Spirit. If you constantly gossip, murmur, complain, negativity, I say constantly, we all have our moments. But if that's your norm, you're not Spirit-filled. If you live a life that is impure, I don't care if you pray in 14 languages, you're not Spirit-filled. There's more to it. If you rebel against your parents, if you cheat your employer, if you have no disciplines in how you live, if you have no compassion for the lost, you have no control of your tongue, and the list goes on and on and on. If these are your norms, I'm not talking about having a bad spot, a bad day even, but I'm talking about that's your norm. You're not living under the influence of the Spirit. See, I want you to take that phrase, be filled with the Spirit, and look at it this way. Be under the influence of the Spirit. Instead of being under the influence of wine, be under the influence of His Spirit. And we could add other things. Instead of being under the influence of anger, right, instead of being under the influence of lust, instead of being under the influence of any kind of other spirit, be under the influence of His Spirit. See, you can hop around in church. You can do a Jericho march. You can be slain in the Spirit. You can put your hair in a beehive bun. But if you're backbiting, you're not filled with the Spirit. I don't know where a beehive bun comes from. I haven't seen one of those in a while. So let's go back to the question, the better question. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit, or this way, are you living under the influence of His Spirit? How do you know? Well, if there's no evidence, there's no power, how about this? You just know. If I ask you, is your marriage full of passion? Well, how do I know? What's a little three-step test? You know. I don't have to give you a three-part test. You know. You know when something isn't right between you and her, you and him. You know. Same thing here. Are you filled with the Spirit? I don't have to give. You know. Let me get ready to land the plane. Let me give you a final illustration here. I really do believe it's not. The Spirit of God is in you. And Paul told Timothy, he said, stir up the gift. Another translation says it this way, fan into flame. You know how a fire is dying out, and so you fan it a little bit to flame it up. Stir up the Spirit. See, Paul didn't tell Timothy, you lost the Spirit. It's there, but let's stir it up. Let's take another drink. You're sobering up. Have another drink. You know, we ought to drink of Jesus every time we come into worship together. But you can't just drink on Sundays alone. You're going to be sober all week long. You got to have to drink on Monday. You got to drink more. For those listening and watching, the Spirit. I don't believe it's so much you having more of Him as it is Him having more of you. I really do believe it is about surrender. You know that old traditional song, I Surrender All. I always feel a little hypocritical singing that because it says, I surrender all. If we could change the words to it, I surrender most, I could probably sing that with a little less guilt. Because what I've learned about me is that this surrendering, it's ongoing. There's that word again. It's continuous. Because I have surrendered it all, and by the time I got to lunch, it just took just a little bit back. It's this process of surrender. Consider this illustration here. The sun. The sun shines all the time. I don't know what the weather is right now. It might be cloudy out there. I don't know if it's about to rain. What's going on outside, but I can tell you, and I guarantee the sun is shining. That doesn't mean you're going to feel it when you get out the door, but it is shining always. Sometimes we don't get as much of it because of two reasons. One, clouds. And the other is the position of the earth. Well, think about it. The Holy Spirit is in you. Always. But sometimes it can be clouds. Something gets in between you and Him. Or it might be your position. You're in the flesh more. But the Holy Spirit is there. Stir up the gift. What clouds are in the way of him shining on you just a little brighter? John the Baptist said it this way about Jesus. He said, he must increase, I must decrease. Another version says it this way, Jesus must become greater and I must become less. Be filled with the Spirit. Part of that is just you surrendering and you becoming less and letting him become more. I told you earlier and last week, I don't believe that it was ever intended to be a struggle to receive the Holy Spirit. I think we have helped create that. I think false teaching has helped create that. But when you read throughout the book of Acts, you find out they received the Spirit through prayer. And then sometimes they laid hands on them, but not all the time. And then sometimes they didn't even pray. And then one time they was preaching and it just happened. There never was a set pattern. There never was a set formula. Kind of like when God or Jesus healed blind men. One time he spoke, boom, guy could see. Another time he made a mud cake and put it in his eye. Why do it different ways? I think God wants us not to make a formula, not to make a pattern. So yes, you can pray. Yes, you can have hands laid on you. And yes, you can just worship. You can just drink of the Spirit. One time, it's been years ago, Rama and Sandra Alapati used to attend this church. They ended up sitting back there, but for a while they sat right there. And while we were having worship one day, she just received the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. It just happened in the middle of worship. We found out later. I've got a friend. He's a good friend of mine. He's a Baptist preacher, has been preaching longer than I have. And he probably knows the book better than I do. And we were talking about this in my early days. And I was just talking to him about it because I knew he didn't believe in it. And I wanted to know why. And I wanted to know, you know, what do you think? And I'm trying to learn and grow. And he said, well, we don't practice it, but I've done it. Why have you done it? So I was at my bed. I was just praying and it just happened. My Baptist preacher friend who doesn't believe in it, got it. He said, no, I don't practice it. Worshiping, it just happened. Praying, it just happened. We are glad to pray for you. We are glad to lay our hands on you. And we can do some of that at the end of this. But right now, we've got time. And what I want to do is I just want us to worship.
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may His peace be yours today.